You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is ESPN Radio.
If you were Joe Burrow and you had over $150 million on the line, would you go out week one without a new contract and play ball? Well, Jay Will, I'm Ian Fitzsimmons here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80. ESPN News, we're presented in part by Progressive Insurance. You can always reach the show at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Jay Will, privileged to be with you this morning, man, on this historic program. We'll touch on Joey B in a second, but what was your reaction when you saw 92,003 people at the University of Nebraska for a women's volleyball game?
Oh, I loved it. Before I get into that reaction, I also have an initial reaction to your initial reaction on Nebraska stuff. I mean, I don't – welcome back is our intro song here today. I'm a little bit confused, Alan Yates. You know, we had a conversation beforehand. Alan Yates is our producer, handles the soundboard, gives us genius commentary on a lot of our, you know, very in-depth discussions, Ian, on
one
this
show. One of
the
best laughs in radio.
Oh, one of the best laughs in radio, and always takes things a little bit too far, but then brings it back. Well, I don't get the welcome back. Today's my last day on the show, Ian.
Oh, don't worry. We'll get you set up. That was just for Joe.
Welcome back. Oh, for Joe.
Yeah, for Joe Burrow.
But he's been back.
B.
Like, or I guess coming back off the – I got it. But still, this is not about Joe. Like, this is about me right now. So I just – Ian, I'm a little bit confused. You know, the little miscommunication off the top of the show. We'll work on that throughout the course of the show.
I was actually told not to address that at the top of the show, but hey –
why not?
It's your last day. No. You go right ahead.
Why not?
I said, let Jay do it. You don't do it.
See, once again, miscommunication.
Oh, there we go.
See, guys, we got to get tighter in the huddle. You know?
Who's the quarterback out here?
We'll work on that tomorrow.
Your last day?
Wait, what time does the show start tomorrow? I'm not sure I'll be here.
Yeah, there's zero doubt that you had when the alarm actually, the body clock alarm goes off at about 3, you're hitting snooze, going right back down.
I'm probably going to be up watching the show anyway. Now I'm just naturally programmed to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Can I ask you a serious question?
Is it serious?
Or yeah, you are physically able, yes.
It's a safe question. Are you going to like...
I don't feel safe with you ever. I just want to take that for the record.
You should.
True.
You should.
Plus,
my real question is, are you going to like do a screen grab recording of you deleting your early a.m. alarms?
Oh, no. I'm staying on the text chain. I mean, Ian, just so you can understand, the text chain has had a lot of new people in it over the last couple of years. So what I've done is I've stated no new friends in our text chain. So, you know, I'm staying on the text chain, guys. I'm not really leaving the show. I'm still going to be on the show, but not really on the show, if you know what I mean.
I deleted that today.
Costello, right off the top rope. You know what? All of you are dead to me. I'm moving on in a hurry.
I mean, Ian, yesterday I come out 7 o'clock hour. I'm like, you know what? I don't know why I waited to the second last day of the show to give like motivational talks at 7. And then Pat just completely flipped it on his axis.
I heard.
Did it 180 and just turned it to a demotivational day. And
for people may have missed it, just give us one demotivational speech there. One demotivational saying, Costello.
The theme music is even better. I'm not even sure Alan Yates has it prepared. Yep, he's looking for it right now. See, this is
going
him.
On the fly.
This is him trying to figure it out.
This is Jay Will's last day.
Ah, there it is.
It's an improv vault for the next 4 hours.
Hope is the first step on the road to disappointment.
You used that one yesterday. Lame.
Well, no one would have known that, Jay.
Come up with new material, Pat. Be better today. Today's Thursday. One day closer to the best day of the week, Friday.
Just remember, Jay, you're unique, just like everybody else.
See what happens, Ian?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Builds you up to break you down.
He's got about 200 of these.
Yes, a lot. Anyway, Ian, back to Nebraska volleyball.
you just see the record scratch, right? And moving back on. Here we go. Back on track.
Blown away. I mean, 92,000 people. I mean, I'm watching videos of thousands of people going into, what is Nebraska Coliseum? Is that the name? Right? And just Like, first
Husker
off,
Stadium.
I played volleyball in high school, played outside, loved it. One of my best friends who passed away when we were like 32 years old was our setter, very close. It's just, I love seeing sports that are off the radar get to that point to recognize how big Nebraska women's volleyball actually is.
Yeah, the unique events also, like when the NHL has the outdoor hockey game every year, that is awesome. So this was so unique. When I woke up this morning and saw it on SportsCenter, and it was a lead story. I mean, again, 92,003 people attended a women's volleyball game at Husker Stadium. That is the largest crowd in the history of women's sports. That's amazing. I didn't think the 99ers could ever be top. Yeah, and they're third now. I mean, it was some soccer game overseas or whatever that had like almost 92,000. But this was the largest crowd for a women's sporting event. I mean, that's remarkable, and it was unique. And watching the coach cry and whatnot, and saying this is as close as I'm ever going to get to being the head coach of Nebraska football. It was a really cool moment and unique moment, and I enjoy those unique settings like the NHL outside every single year.
Ian, you got any kids?
Two. Senior in high school and a freshman in high school. Two girls. I'm doomed. Yeah, doomed.
Two girls?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I'm with you. I got two girls, too.
I know.
But I got two girls and a boy, but is it amazing, though, like when I come home today to show my daughter that this is going to hopefully be the norm for women's sports. Like I know this is a unique outlier, but I want it to be the norm because seeing WNBA players taking her to WNBA games, seeing things like this – I even be honest with you, Ian, like even like, you know, Mermaid, like, you know what I mean? Like even like watching shows like that, there's a Black Mermaid that my daughter now doesn't have to think about Ariel. Like she's like, oh, I can be that. Like all these are things that is just transitioning. Even watching the way people are investing in women's sports, I'm like, that's the way it needs to be. Thank God this is the norm now moving forward.
Yeah, Liberty and Aces, man, when they square up in the WNBA, that's like UConn and Tennessee back in the day with Geno and Coach Summit. That's stop down and get ready because that's sports hate and it's awesome entertainment. And I'm with you. My youngest daughter, Maren, she plays volleyball.
Back row? She play outside? She middle? What does she do?
I don't know all the terms. I just
I got you. Well, how do you not know the terms?
What kind of she sets a lot. She's a
center. Okay.
All right. There we go.
Okay. There we go.
She's vertically challenged and zero lift. So yeah, she's setting everybody up. Right. I mean, when I say zero lift, I'm talking zero lift.
Like Nikola Jokic zero lift, or like what kind of lift?
Oh man, that dude's jumping out of the roof compared to Pasty over here. I mean, she's got no lift. Pasty. I mean, but hey, she's a hell of a setter. And she's got a great serve. And she's going to see this, to your point, right? So to all women out there, I've lost Jay Will now. for all the women out there, yeah, I mean, it was awesome. And as a dad, right, as Kobe Bryant once called us, right, dad girls, it was really cool to wake up and see that on SportsCenter this morning. So kudos to Nebraska and all the fans that showed up. 92,003. Don't forget those last three in, right? To attend the three-time national defending champs, the Nebraska Cornhuskers women's volleyball team.
Ian, dad girls works. I mean, or girl dads, you know.
Dad girl, yeah. Girl dads probably would be. Just flip that around. Yeah, girl dads.
It happens, though. It's early. You know what I mean? It's 6:08. It's fine. It's fine.
What's the O stand for? Good Morning Vietnam. Here's your movie reference right there.
Good Morning Vietnam. Love Robin Williams in that. He's so D good.
Williams. I'm Ian Fitzsimmons here on ESPN Radio, ESPNU, ESPN2. We appreciate you waking up early with us. And let's get to Joe Burrow. You were a professional athlete. If you were in his situation with $150 to $200 million on the line, and you're waiting on that new contract extension that Justin Herbert just got and he got $52 million guaranteed per. Are you going out there week one? And we are 1 week away from the start of the NFL 2023 campaign. Are you going out there and playing?
Yeah, I'm playing. I'm playing because I know that it's going to be a matter of time before I get that 5-year, $265 million deal. Like, I'm going to get that average annual value of $53 million a season. I'm going to be the highest paid quarterback due to the way that I am next in line in the process. I watched Lamar Jackson get his deal. I watched Justin Herbert get his deal. And I'm sitting there understanding that with Cincinnati, like, I am the leader of this organization. I lead by example. That's the way I've always played my entire career. And I am one of the most marketable assets, Ian, in the entire National Football League. So yes, we are having conversations. We are starting that conversation has already started, obviously. But I'm going to have to get to that contract. I have 2 years left in my deal, so I'm not going to sit out 2 years. But we also know that I'm next in line. And when you're next in line, Ian, with what I've seen from the NFL over the couple of years that I've been covering the league every day, he's going to get paid his money.
Yeah, and you know this also. One, having covered him a ton when he was at LSU in college, you would have to have – if his agent's telling him, man, you shouldn't go out there week one. You shouldn't go out there week one without your new deal. We're close, but we don't have it yet. He's going to look at his agent and go, I'm playing. And his agency would have to have like 8 guys, sumo wrestlers with toe lines to keep Joe Burrow off that field. He's going out there with his boy. So I'm with you. I would. He is. And think about this. When do deals get done? At a deadline.
Mm-hmm.
A week in the NFL on a contract negotiation is an eternity. So I fully expect a deal to get done before they kick off week one, and Joe Burrow will be the newest and latest highest paid quarterback in the NFL.
And Ian, the Cincinnati Bengals have already set precedent with this, right? Like Trey Hendrickson had 2 years left on his deal, and he got a pretty big deal. So they've already shown that they're willing to bend for people that matter. So you can't tell me out of all the people on that 53-man roster, the one guy that whenever you talk about Cincinnati, it always comes back to him, that they're not willing to bend in order to get this whole thing done.
Amen. We agree, man. He will be out there, and I can't wait to watch him because he's one of the most electric players, not just in the NFL, but in all of sports.
What's his nickname? I mean, you gave your daughter the nickname of Pasty, which is interesting to me. we're going to dive into that a little bit later.
That was off the cuff. Yeah,
they
recorded this show. Come on, man.
You said
I'm going from dad of the year, right? I mean, they're not watching the first block, but if it gets back to them, it will. He's Jay Williams, Tommy and Fitzsimmons. Wait till you hear how Colts GM Chris Ballard described the Jonathan Taylor situation. Right here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is ESPN Radio.
Jonathan Taylor, Colts All-Pro running back, is starting the season on the PUP list. And it's just getting nastier. With Jay Williams, I'm Ian Fitzsimmons here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2. We appreciate you waking up early with us this morning. And Jay, well, before we hear from Colts GM Chris Ballard, because I think he summed up the situation in 46 seconds with, I would say, with remarkable accuracy for all parties involved.
Hmm.
You'll hear that coming up in just a second. But you've been around teammates in professional sports that didn't have a contract, that were not happy, and when you have a guy who is unhappy in your locker room, what is that like as a pro athlete?
It's horrible. I mean, I heard Patrick Mahomes talking about Chris Jones the other day, who's actually not in the locker room because he's at home, right? Incurring costs of $1.8 million due to fines as he's trying to chase a $30 million deal. So I think the thing that is the most difficult about this is if you're treating our best player this way, why wouldn't you treat me this way? So it just causes a little bit of a rift between because you know what it is, Ian. Like, we all feel that we're important until we find out through the negotiation process we're not important. So it makes you pull away from more of what the team is trying to do. You're there to do your job. You're going to do your job. But there is a special type of energy within championship locker rooms or reestablishing the foundation to build a championship team. There is camaraderie. And players, we understand that business is business. But when business becomes personal for somebody that is the leader of our organization, it makes you very reflective to if he's treating that way, why couldn't I be treated the same way?
Well, Chris Ballard summed up how he feels for all parties involved. Here's a Colts general manager when asked about this situation.
I have great respect for Jonathan Taylor. Our relationship, I would tell you, is, look, even when it gets hard, I won't quit on the relationship. I think too much of the young man. And what sucks, I mean, the situation, I'm not going to sit here and give you some rosy picture like, oh, this is just, everything's okay. No, it sucks. It sucks for the Colts. It sucks for Jonathan Taylor. And it sucks for our fans. It does. And it's where we're at, and we've got to work through it. And we're going to do everything we can to work through it. Relationships are repairable. They're repairable.
Are they, J. Will, when it comes to pro sports and you're talking about millions of dollars?
Not between Jim Irsay and Jonathan Taylor.
Great point. That's exactly where I was going to go also. The GM is one thing. The owner may be another after his comments.
I mean, what Chris Ballard, who I very much respect, Ian,
yep,
with who he is as a leader, but pretty much what he just said is that we aren't paying Jonathan Taylor because the guy writing the checks doesn't want to. That's what he's saying. And his hands are tied. There's nothing he can do about it. And, you know, I watched that whole interview and actually wrote this down the other day because pretty much Ballard said after that, you know, you pay great players. And then James Boyd of TheAthletic.com asked, then why not pay him? Ballard responded by saying, quote, we won four games last year. We won four games.
Here's that clip. Here's Chris Ballard, okay, GM of the Colts, with that very comment.
The running back market is what it is, but you pay great. I've said this all along. Like, I didn't have Quentin Nelson didn't have a problem playing a guard a lot of money, which other people don't either. When guys are having great seasons and great, have a chance to really help your football team, absolutely. The running market is what it is, but look, great players are what they are too. So I think that all works. I think there's a...
Well, in that case, it's JT. I'm assuming JT's a great player. Why not pay him?
We won four games last year. We won four games.
Ian, so this is what blows my mind, right? I blow a gasket on stuff like this. And I get it. Like, the more Chris Ballard handled every question, with the exception of that one, pretty much correctly. But, like, the four games is, okay, we're not going to talk about the Colts randomly benching Matt Ryan, you know, for the rest of the season. We're not going to talk about them.
Sam Ehlinger, some burn.
Exactly. Like, okay, firing Frank Reich, you know, who's now with the Carolina Panthers, and then bringing in Jeff Saturday. And I love Jeff Saturday, but obviously Jeff Saturday was very inexperienced. Like, we're going to skip over all those details, and we're just going to go to a win-loss record and then say, well, we won four games. So that is to showcase that Jonathan Taylor is not a great player? Like, stop. Just say that the guy writing the checks does not want to pay him.
That's the point, Jay.
Just say that.
I think with Jay Williams, I'm Ian Fitzsimmons. You're on ESPN Radio, ESPN 2. It sounds like to me, in the tone and the delivery there from Chris Ballard, that he wanted to sign JT to a long-term deal, whether it's a three-year deal worth $40 million, whatever it might be. I mean, average out, Saquon Barkley getting $11 million, Josh Jacobs got $12 million. You pay on a three-year type deal, four-year type deal, you know, $30, $35, $40 million, whatever arbitrary number it would be. It sounds like Ballard wanted to, but couldn't because of, you mentioned it, the owner, Jim Irsay. What do you think?
Yeah, we're on the same page. I mean, Jim Irsay was the one that said Jonathan Taylor will not be traded. Told everybody he will not be traded. And then obviously it's laughable, even, you know, talking to people within the Dolphins organization, those conversations weren't real. I mean, you're not going to give up Jalen Waddle with 2 years left on his deal on a rookie contract for Jonathan Taylor, who's on an expiring deal. Why would you do that?
Well, Chris Greer, Dolphins GM, was posed that question. Here's what he said.
Look, when you don't have a great player.
He said 95% of what's reported is inaccurate, so I got to ask you, did the words Jalen Waddle come out of Chris's mouth?
Again, I'm not going to go into discussions that were talked about with stuff, but God, man, you're a dog on this, huh?
<My God. laughs>
But yeah, Jalen Waddle would not be available to anybody. It wouldn't matter who they called about.
Jay, will the laugh at the beginning of that from Chris Greer Dolphins GM on whether Chris Ballard asked about Jalen Waddle. The giggle answered the question.
I mean, come on. Knowing Chris Greer for as long as I have, I mean, he's a guy that digs into their batter's box, right? Like, right. If he'll get, they'll make an acquisition if they can get it for pennies on a dollar or if it's a smart move financial, economically. But you're not going to jeopardize the talent that you have in Jalen Waddle knowing that they're just trying to extract more assets from you, because the reality is that Jim Irsay didn't want to give up Jonathan Taylor in the first place. That wasn't his intention. It was like, oh, go see. It's the same thing that I've been saying about as it relates to like Austin Eckler, right, with the Chargers. It's like, okay,
he's a heck of a running back.
Good luck with the free agent market. Like, go ahead and see what your value is. But you know, at the end of the day, that the organization is not going to deem that value to be worthy enough of giving you up. They're just saying that to play the political game, to say, see, we gave you what you want. We gave you an opportunity to hit the market. The market just didn't dictate what you thought your needs were. So, sorry, it's the way it is. Now we have this deal. This is what the deal is going to be.
And the other aspect of this is a lot of people are impacted, not just Jonathan Taylor for not getting that long-term deal that he's looking for, but also Anthony Richardson. What's a quarterback's best friend besides his offensive line? A running game. And Anthony Richardson, as a rookie quarterback out of Florida who's only started in 13 games, doesn't have one of the best in the business behind him with the Indianapolis Colts this year.
And Ian, I'll give you another one. Your first year head coach, Shane Steichen, right?
Like, yep, good. Yeah.
Steichen, did I butcher the name?
Steichen, yeah,
Steichen, 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 Steichen.
It's your last name, you're good.
It sounds like a fun word game to play. But like, you're putting, so I said this yesterday, you're putting both your first year head coach and your first year QB in such a predicament. You're putting them in a conundrum because your most offensively skilled weapon is not available because you want to play games with it. So it is what it is. It's unfortunate.
And this is going to – I mean, this is going to bleed into that entire locker room. Again, we start in 1 week. From tonight, the NFL 2023 campaign kicks off. And this feeling, right, is just bleeding through your entire room, knowing that the GM, at least it feels this way, wanted to sign. And they know. Players know.
Of course.
Yeah, so he wanted JT there. The owner didn't. And that's a bad taste on your palate going into week one.
No matter how good
or bad you're supposed to be.
Shane Steichen. That's what you guys are going to do. Shane Steichen. Steichen. You know, it's like the...
What? No mercy today, J. Will. It's like the Costello, Yates, and Nuno.
Yates. Shane Steichen. What was that word Yates said Kevin Garnett couldn't say? Equivalent?
Equivalent. You over here talking about
Shane Steichen.
Shane Steichen.
I'm talking about the Shay Shay Club. Shannon Sharp. Come on, man. That's what I was talking about. Club Shay Shay. Shane Steichen.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
This is ESPN Radio.
Are the Jets drinking their own Kool-Aid? With Jay Williams, I'm Ian Fitzsimmons here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, as we are presented in part by Progressive Insurance. And Jay Will, I'm still trying to recover from this. What happened moments? Well, how did you pronounce Colts head coach
Shane Sicing.
Shane Shay-Shay.
Shane Sicing.
Shane Shay-Shay. I'm calling him Shane Shay-Shay for the rest of the show.
I love it. I love
Shane
it.
Shane Shay-Shay.
Shang-Chi? Did you see that movie?
Kapelta fish. Where is it, from Rush Hour? And he couldn't say Kapelta fish?
That's exactly equivalent. Who you sound like.
Shane Sicing.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, sometimes these things happen, Ian, and it's better just to lean into them.
I refer to us as dad girls, not girl dads.
Exactly. It's better to lean into them instead of acting like they never happened. Right? Like, watching Kevin Garnett say equivalent was one of the best, you know, observations of my life. He said,
Shane said, what? Coaching the Colts.
Yep. Coach
Shane Sicing.
Coach Shane Shay-Shay. It says, fine. Shay-Shay Shante.
Oh, my gosh. I love there you, go. Brother. All right.
Because at the moment, I'm like, is it Steichen? Is it Steichen? Is it Steichen?
You just combine the two. It was Shay-Shay.
I put it all together.
Shane Sicing.
I don't know.
Shay-Shen. There
I don't
go.
Know.
That's it.
But I knew who he was, though.
You put it all together and just invented a new word entirely.
And Shane Sicing. And you're welcome, Pat.
Oh, I'm sweating.
You're welcome.
Oh, my gosh, man. It's going to be a
I'll be here.
This is a fun ride.
I'll be here all day every – well, stop. I'll be here today.
Hey, yo!
What?
Yo, you guys see this Jets news?
Are they buying into their own hype?
There he is. There he is, Nuno.
Oh, here we go. So, and to me, this is not a big deal, but a lot of people are already going, well, the Jets are kind of feeling themselves, haven't played a single down yet. Wow. Here's their head coach, Robert Saleh, talking about the East.
We talk about owning the East, you know, and you got to win your division games. And the easiest path to the playoffs is to win the division, right? But, you know, again, it's one game at a time. But obviously the division games, you want to perform well in the division. Last year, we wanted to show that we can win a game. I think we're on like a 300-game losing streak or whatever it was in the division. And, you know, we won a couple. And this year we want to win a couple more, you know, and just continue to build on the momentum that we've gained.
I don't have a problem with that. I don't have a problem with Aaron Rodgers trash-talking, you know. Ward, the linebacker from the Giants on Hard Knocks, which we finally saw and heard last night. Look, they're a good football team. That defense is Super Bowl caliber. The only question that we really have about this team is the offensive line. So they should be feeling really good about themselves. They should be feeling themselves. They should be drinking their own Kool-Aid because confidence is infectious. So, and they should be a confident football team, in my opinion. I don't have a problem at all with what Robert Saleh or any other member of the Jets are saying about their chances not just to win that division, but make a deep playoff run and chase a Lombardi.
I feel like this is the best gift that could ever be given to me, right? First off, Greeny is like a brother to me. He's a diehard Jets fan. My brother Scooter Braun, diehard Jet fan. Gary Vee, diehard Jets fan. So now every single thing on all my different text chains, what do you think about this? What do you think about this? And by the way, in my fantasy draft last night, didn't take Aaron Rodgers, didn't take Garrett Wilson. I'm like, I'm just going to stay away from it because I want to watch. I don't want to be invested. You know what I mean? And that O-line, it's going to be something very interesting to pay attention to. Can Aaron Rodgers stay out of harm's way? And can they force feed Garrett Wilson? But I do ultimately like this team. But I will tell you, last night watching Hard Knocks, Ian, the scene where Robert Saleh was driving into the stadium and they had the iconic Sopranos music, right? Like, and they did like the whole scene set, made me feel like Robert Saleh is like a version of Tony Soprano, right? Like, I being a Jersey guy, I love that because a lot of his answers feel very like almost like mob-like. It's like, I know you guys are coming out to get us. I'm going to protect my players at all costs. And yet I have a major chip on my shoulder. Like, I am competitive, and I'm going to focus on the AFC East, and teams have to come play us. So I get that people are going to turn this into things that maybe aren't what he made mention of, but he understands that.
Yeah, every little thing, Jay Will.
Exactly,
every little thing that is comes – the Jets are damn near where the Dallas Cowboys are, where any little thing that is said is going to be dissected, put under a microscope, and overanalyzed.
Don't you want that? I mean,
absolutely.
I want to be on the show like that all day long. Okay. Oh, well, you're going to misinterpret what I said. Now you just gave me content. Thank you. You gave me motivation, Ian. Like, because now I'm going to come back and you gave me more stuff to talk about tomorrow. And by the way, you only fueling me. You're doing a job for me. You're motivating me. Thank you.
All right. Now, as a former pro athlete, I can't wait to get your reaction on Aaron Rodgers, Jets quarterback, on HBO's Max's Hard Knocks. Last night, we're watching all the video and film, and he's mic'd up, and he gets into a little kerfuffle little with Jahad Ward, linebacker from the New York Giants.
I guess, Ian, I thought
tough guy Aaron was kind of funny.
I love, because sometimes I feel as if, as a player, the things that motivated me were negative, right? I never listened to the positivity. It's not like, oh, somebody said I'm the best quarterback or the best player in Duke basketball point guard history. It's not like, oh, that's going to motivate me. When somebody says something stupid, that's dumb, I'm like, oh, thank you. Thank you for giving me exactly what I need to throw a touchdown pass to Garrett Wilson. Thank you. Thank you. And that's exactly what happened. Like, nobody knows who the blank you are. Sure, your whole defensive scouting report is based on who I am, dummy. Come on.
That was a pathetic, uncomebackable comeback from Ward. I don't know who you are. Okay. Like, come on, man.
Sure. Sure you don't know who I am.
Just first ballot.
Aaron
was dead serious.
I've had a moment like this occur to me. USA basketball going against Gary Payton going into my sophomore year of college, okay? Like Gary Payton, Jason Kidd, Vince Carter, all these guys on his team. And GP is talking trash to me nonstop. And I start giving him a couple of buckets, Ian, right? Like I hit him with a cross in transition, lay him. I hit a three, and he's talking to me. I'm like, yeah, no, nobody, you're not the glove. You're like the mitten. And as I say that, as I'm running down the court, I'm like,
I
just called Gary Payton the mitten. This is the dumbest thing that I could have ever said in my life. And he looked at me with like the most awkward look, like, what? The
young
mitten?
Young buck,
the
I'm
mitten?
About to
shut up.
Work you over. Right?
I got destroyed in practice the next 4 days. Destroyed. The mitten. Who calls Gary Payton the mitten?
The moment you said it, you almost had that out-of-body experience where you floated above yourself.
Why?
Going, you are a fool.
Why, God? Why did I say this out loud? Please.
Top time machine. Can I please go back and take that back, sir? Right?
Those GP kind of the mitten. There
that
we
was
go.
Ward with Rodgers going, I don't know who you are, bro. Okay.
Yep.
He's Jay Will. I'll be at Fitzsimmons. Coming up next, would you ever root against your own child? Here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
This is ESPN Radio.
What you are about to hear is somewhat disturbing because it's true. With Jay Williams, I'm Ian Fitzsimmons. You're on ESPN Radio, ESPN2. Thanks for spending part of your day with us and waking up early. And Jay Will, I'm about to get crushed by you, by Nuno, maybe not Costello because he's got a dark side to him, and Alan Yates.
The force is strong with Costello.
And I now know where I get this, and it's from my mother. So My mom is a diehard New Orleans Saints fan. I mean, we grew up on a horse farm in Louisiana, in Folsom, Louisiana, about 45 minutes to the North Shore of New Orleans. She refers to the Saints as her beloveds. That's how much she loves her Saints. My younger brother is an assistant coach now with the Carolina Panthers. So she was posed the question the moment he got hired by Carolina, well, you're going to have to root against your Saints for twice a year. She said, no, I don't. I hope he goes 15-2. I'm like, Mom, You're going to root against your own son. Well, yeah. I mean, they're the Beloveds. I mean, I've been a Saints fan a heck of a lot longer than he's been coaching with the Carolina Panthers. I hope he goes 15-2.
I respect it.
So I was on yesterday with our good friend Dari Noko on SEC This Morning on SiriusXM. We actually had my mom on because Dari didn't believe it, and she was defending and giving reason why she will root against her son not once but twice every single year as long as he's with Carolina. And as she said, 15-2, I do believe, gets you in the playoffs and wins a division. We're good.
What a great point.
I mean, it was an outstanding point. But Dari was still like blown away that she's going to root against her own son. Well, I had this moment, this epiphany, like, well, I just did this. So I'm on the road with my oldest daughter, Rowan, who's a select goalkeeper. Her team had gotten to regionals, and the tournament was in Baton Rouge. But we had to go to Ole Miss's camp first, then down to Florida, then to Alabama. Then we went to New Orleans, stayed there for 3 days instead of driving all the way back to Dallas, and then zipped up to Baton Rouge,
hold
the
on,
tournament.
Ian, one quick second. I'm just Come kidding. I'm starting to sweat a little bit because, you know, my kids are like 5, 2.5, and 10 months.
But 17-year-old, like, 17-year-old girl.
Yeah.
25 days on the road.
See, like the whole AAU weekend schedule is starting to really – a lot of parents are starting to tell me about this.
Coach.
So I'm starting to really try to
travel
like
ball.
Focus on the weekends that I currently have now where I'm not all over the damn country. You just gave me 4 states in a matter of like 2 seconds.
Yep.
Okay, go ahead. That's a lot of travel.
25 total days, right? But we were at 19 days heading into regionals. I'm exhausted. I want to go home. I want to get to my bed. I miss my pillow, right? I miss my wife, my other daughter, Rowan. I want to go home. I said to myself the morning of their first game at regionals, a national championship berth on the line. I hear you cackling already.
Because I get it.
I'm saying to myself, I want you to have 20 saves. Do cartwheels in your cage. Play the best game you've ever played and lose 1-0. So we can go home. They end up, it was a stay and play tournament, meaning you have to stay at the assigned hotel that the tournament gives you. We were given the Drury Inn and Suites in Baton Rouge. I was in room 623 at the Drury Inn for 6 days.
Wow.
My daughter is superstitious. When they won the first game and she played pretty well, she wanted to wear the same uniform the next day. 110 heat index. Mm. I'm doing laundry every day. Out of right down the hall, lined up with everybody else, you know, moms and dads just waiting on the. Yep. I should have gone to a laundromat. Pat Costello brought that up a couple weeks ago. I didn't think of it, but
there's one washing machine in the hotel.
One
washing machine.
You got
it. Of course.
One.
Of course. Murphy's Law, of course.
That's it. I mean, laundry every day, rooting against my daughter to not win, to lose. So I guess it runs in the family. So my question to you is, having heard all of that, now you have context. Would you root against your child?
Oh, 1,000%. That's not even a question. Wait, can we just rewind for 1 second? Can
Please.
We go back? Because I have some points of clarity that I need here. You said that your brother is an assistant coach, right,
yep.
with the Panthers?
Special teams.
Oh, special teams?
Yep.
Doesn't count.
Excuse you?
Doesn't count. Special teams doesn't count.
Are you?
Your mom can root against him all day long. Doesn't
Hold
count.
On a minute.
Doesn't
Wait,
count. Special teams.
Straight. You don't acknowledge the third phase of the game?
No.
All right, Jim Tressel, many years ago, head coach
Love
of Ohio
Jim
State.
Oh, yeah, I know, familiar with Jim.
Yeah, they're getting ready to play Michigan. I'm living in Columbus, Ohio at the time.
You lived in Columbus,
yeah,
Ohio?
Yeah, I did a show at Herb Street for 3 years in Columbus.
Nobody's told me that.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah.
My parents went to the Ohio State. I'm a Buckeye fan, just to let you know.
So if they play Duke, which way?
I mean, I don't have to. I mean, I love Duke football. I love Duke football.
Against your child,
like,
right there.
Come on,
okay.
Stop.
Just
stop.
Checking.
Come on.
Anyway,
we know what time it is.
To your special teams shot there, Tress said the biggest game, it was they're playing Michigan at the Shoe,
okay.
National championship berth on the line in the Fiesta Bowl against the Mighty Hurricanes, which they end up winning and becoming 0-2 national champs. But he said the biggest play in this game against Michigan is the punt. I raised my hand, the presser going, the punt is the biggest play in this game? It's the most important play? You disagree, Ian? I said, yes, sir. He said, well, let me tell you something. And Uh-oh. This is when I got undressed.
Okay.
At a presser, national media, local media, everybody's there.
You got undressed at a presser.
Dude, he said, the punt is the most important play in football. The punt is the biggest exchange of yardage in any football game. The punt is one of the biggest momentum swings in any game. You muff a punt, momentum swing. Block a punt. Pin an opponent deep inside their own 10, inside their own 5. Return a punt for a touchdown. All some of the biggest momentum swings in a game. Yes, the punt is the most important play in football. That's when I sat down and shut up.
So
you're hiking your leg
down
on special teams.
I'm standing down. Okay, I'll stand down. I'll stand down. That's fine. I just learned something.
Now,
that's great. I mean, before when the show started, we were making fun. You laughed when I said that. Then I say it again, and now you take a chance to undress me. I see how we operate.
I'm not undressing. I was shocked. Special teams. He's not a real football
player. Wait, we have a caller, team. Eric, in North Carolina. Eric, I heard that you have a pretty good story about a family member rooting against a child, or maybe you?
No, so I grew up in northwestern Pennsylvania where football just rules, and my dad went to a public high school when he was growing up, and he sent me to the Catholic private high school growing up, but back when he was playing, they dominated us, and then when I was growing up, we dominated them, and like when we played them each year, he would just tell me, he's like, I'm straight up not even, he's like, I'm sitting on the other side of the field, like, the whole time for where he went to school, and I'm like, damn, Dad, that's kind of rough.
Yeah, I respect stuff like that. Loyalty matters.
Well, not to my mom, because she's rooting against her own son again twice in a year to go 15-2 and lose to her Saints, and I rooted against my own daughter.
Well, if they're getting blown out, then special teams doesn't matter.
There you have it.
There you go. See,
there it is. Coming up, our picks for the teams to make the college football playoff next here on ESPN.
This is ESPN Radio. More next.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.